Yeah, that's right. That's biblical.
Because I'm just in a weird box.
We can just gather it.
Otherwise, we would probably go on to God here. And have a little oath to Jeff and Bill.
What? We were just trying to think to we could have an octagonal
discussion group
instead of a. We're just trying to. We didn't know how many would be here, so we were thinking we might have to just go in a small circle there.
We do one, but pull.
We might want to make an octagon of the table. So we've got enough people to fit right around four of these, five of these tables.
If there are only five of these, it's a pentagon.
I don't even know how to count. I mean, so listen.
I didn't know how to count.
I'm a pastor. I can go 10. 7, 3, 1. Those are the big numbers I know. And 4.
What about 12?
12.
How do you do 12 minus? How do we get to an octagon?
Well, an octagon would be
4, 3.
You're the host.
1. Yes.
Of course. This is so simple. Hey, we're going to actually, to have a discussion, we really do... Brothers don't shake. How's it going? Hey, we're gonna probably just bring some tables around, and that way you can take notes. But let's figure out. Yeah, somebody. Just make this feel good here.
They're already ready. Don't slide.
How are you?
Okay.
Don't slide. Actually, that's moving tables.
Oh, this is like way. I was thinking sort of intimate. This feels like the UN. I feel like
I'd like to delegate my 28 minutes to the senator from Nebraska.
It's like.
Oh, this looks like a fish. This is cool. The early church would use these fish as a symbol of the.
Oh, we are using that table. Okay.
This is so cool.
This is not a circle, is it?
Yeah. This is, yes, great.
Sure. Thank you.
I will. I just want to be introduced. I don't think I know everybody.
Okay.
I'll leave Sharon with everybody.
Everybody.
Talk to everybody back.
So I'm gonna kind of walk around. My name is Jordan. I'm the host for this room.
And he's by the way, I've got to say, he has made the gift card give. It's just the best.
It's just fun.
He does it right.
Last time we gave it, so there would be a gift card giveaway at the end. We decided that we'd give it to someone whose birthday was either on today, which is kind of random, or you know, the next one. And there's a girl whose birthday was today, so that was kind of cool. So,
coincidence?
We're not doing birthdays.
No, of course not.
Sorry.
Never. Because I never win.
Onichi, you got you guys, Eric Reed. He is the man. He's part of the men's ministry here. At first, he's been on staff for 9 years. Originally hails from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Wow, you got like a great steel trap mind there. That's impressive.
And he has been happily married for over 17 years. He has 4 lovely children. So that's Eric Reed.
Eric in a box.
Sherry Brown.
I'm really old. I can go to first.
I think you're getting punching. It's late.
It's late, man.
It's my volleyball coach.
Wow.
It's only 10:40. We still got another hour and 20 minutes.
Sherry Brown is wonderful. Met her today and had the pleasure of being able to introduce her. She used to work at the Faith Center doing the children's daycare ministry. She's on staff with Summit for the Summit Women, and she's just very, very kind. She has a heart for discipleship, and she also has, with her husband, four beautiful children.
They're different.
They actually are, which has been really neat. We don't have the same. Really great. I mean, just think that it's special.
That's actually why you guys are here now.
That's so funny.
But yeah.
All right. We certainly need to pray now. The whole idea for this came from different trainings we've done, and for me, meeting with men grow leaders and grow group leaders. Often the comment is made, I would love to hear what other groups are doing. I'd love to hear what's going well. I'd love to hear what's not going well. I'd love to know what they've studied, what were good studies, what were bad studies, blah, blah, blah. You know. And so we thought about when would be a time that we could actually do something like that. And we felt like, you know, Midnight Madness, this is the perfect time because we've already done the 101 stuff and we've done some 201. How many of y'all went to 101 training? Okay, several of y'all did. If you did it last fall, then you've done it. How many of y'all did one of the either 201 or 202? Was that helpful? Just those two topics were topics that I get asked a lot about. How do you handle the awkward or strange or challenging personality? And then the second one is, how do you handle a crisis? And specifically in the crisis mode, a lot of young married grow groups, marriage problems will appear in a grow group long before I'll ever find out about it. And then they would arise in my office, and it would be more of a declaration of we're done. And so I realized that if we don't at some level teach the frontline ministers of the church, which is who you are, that God has commissioned you, right? And God has equipped you and he's poured his spirit into you to be the ministers here of the men and the women that you encounter. And so if y'all aren't equipped on handling the crisis, and yes, that sometimes involves calling a pastor, calling a counselor, and all of that. And we've got guidelines for referral. We got so many resources, it's crazy. And we are organizing them on the web. And I'm trying to find a domain name that's not over $100 right now because all the good ones are taken. But anyhow, we just want to have that time that we're going to talk. We have some questions to give you, and then we hope that y'all are going to have some as well. So with that, Sherry, would you pray over us?
I would like to.
And over this time?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these men and women that have gathered here and for their willingness to serve your kingdom by leading others into a more intimate relationship with you. We pray for the lives that their lives touch, that they would be transformed. And through the course of the next months or even a year or two, that their life, they would begin to look much more like you. Lord, we long for each person in our church to grow, to know you better, to be more like you, to serve you better, to walk with you, to live in a way that brings glory and honor to you and is increasingly getting away from sin. And so, Lord, I just pray that as our conversation tonight will be edifying to one another and honoring to you, and that at the end of the hour we would feel we had more wisdom to deal with the people that we interact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Before we get rolling, a couple of ground rules. You know, we don't, and these are obvious things. I mean, sort of the tenets of a grow group would be, you know, it's grace-centered, right? So we don't bash people. We want to build people up, not beat them up, right? Grace-centered. Confidential, right? So we don't want to use personal names in here. Identifiers, it's okay to change the name to protect the guilty or the innocent. It's okay. We want commitment level that's there, and then lastly is that progressively transparent, that there will be some things we will share, but we don't have to use class names. We would like to take just a moment, sort of go around and share sort of your division. So divisions at our church here would be like I'm college, Summit, Fusion, or Married Young Adults, Adult 1 or Adult 2, and I'm not seeing any Adult 2, although we had Adult 2 in the first round. Which was great. I had a whole table of these ladies that, man, I didn't want to play them, and in 52 or any other form of dominoes because it would have worn me out. My grandmother was vicious at those games. Anyway, I'm sorry. So I'm Eric. I'm actually a teacher in a married young adult class. I used to teach the newlywed class for 8 years. Loved teaching the newlywed, but seeing the same people come in and out just wore me out. Like, we had 200 people, and you know, it was just very busy and very hard to connect with people. And so so I'm actually teaching a married young adult class, and I started a grow group last Friday. So we had our second meeting this morning, and it's really awesome because for about the last year and a half, 2 years, God took all of my, in a very real sense, best support out of the city. Different churches, different, you know, job situations and all that. And I found myself 47 years old, and I was like, I'm sort of alone right now. And that is not an age that you want to be alone. You know what I mean? Like, you're vulnerable. And so I was like, God, and I need to find some other guys. And out of the blue, I got a text from a guy that we had talked a year prior. And he said, hey, we need one more guy in our grow group. Are you open? I was like, let me talk to my wife. And so we are. So I'm very excited to be jumping back into, I've been managing them in a sense, but not in one for the last couple of years. So I'm real excited about that. Travis, you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Hi.
You don't have to go into all that detail. I'm a talker, and I apologize. I'm really bad for a group. Go.
Okay, I'm Travis. I'm in Summit. What else do you want to know?
That's great. That's perfect.
I'm Hillary. I'm in Summit as well.
Hi, I'm Kristen, and my husband Dan and I are in married young adults.
I'm Christy. I attend the CNA campus, we're just adult. If you're not a student...
That's right.
60 years old, you can be
that's right. Yeah.
So I'm Kendra. We're all in the same.
I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff. I'm at CNA campus. I know these people.
Serene, you're in the loop in Summit.
I'm Amy. I'm in Summit.
I'm Jordan. I'm in Summit.
I'm Evan. I'm in Summit.
I'm Jessica. I'm also in Summit.
I'm Kristen. I'm in Summit.
I'm Rebecca. And I'm in Summit.
I'm Brett. I'm also in Summit.
I'm Jay, and I'm also in Summit.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Sherry, and I'm also in Summit.
Will the real Summit please stand up? Oh, man. That's great. Yeah, I'm sorry. I really was wanting more diversity. I'm so glad Sienna's here. And that when I had the flu over the holidays, I didn't shave, and I have a Cypress is here. That's so cool. Any downtown? Son of a gun. Okay. We have a couple of questions. We've done that. I wanted to start sort of more on the positive and just sort of, why don't you share a couple things that you think are going well in your groups right now? And just let's just throw it out. Anybody can go. We don't have to go around the circle. And I'm going to actually take some notes as y'all talk. So if you need a little note card, or if you have you have a note page in your book, we didn't think we needed to make a handout for this because it was more y'all. Yeah.
So I, as a grow director for Renewed, it's interesting. One of the things I've seen is that I tried to get groups where they were in close proximity to one another. Some people live in the Energy Quarter. Some people live in the Woodlands. Some people live, you know, down south towards Galveston, Pearland, etc. And I have one group in particular where the personality is going to be more different, right? And I was kind of questioning whether or not that would work out, but it did. And a lot of it had to do with proximity. I think that's a really easy step to skip, and I know this is kind of the basics of like forming small groups, but then obviously accountability I think is really important, that transparency. So that has to do with breaking down those barriers, and I've seen that even with my own small group. As soon as one guy opened up about what was really going on in his life and he was really struggling with, everybody opened up. And that carried momentum forward for months. And then as soon as that stopped, it was like standstill. People stopped showing up to their small groups. There was inconsistency. And that was like the connection. And that transparency, that's what keeps people like bound to their ministry and grounded in their spiritual growth and bearing those fruits and moving forward in their faith. And I think that there's so many people that get away from them. They just show up, they know their study material, they talk about it, they leave, but they're not connecting and using that material to get really deep and stay connected. So
that's good. Somebody else, something's going well in groups?
I think with the group I'm in, a lot of the guys are just so passionate about the Word of God that it's like, it's contagious. It makes you want to learn more about it. It makes you want to dive in on your own, also outside a small group, into the Bible. And I know it sounds so simple, but it's amazing when you're with people who are passionate about it, how you just see so many different things and how it's all interconnected and stuff. So for me, I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's my favorite thing about Road Group right now.
We have a similar grow group covenant that we've done in our past two small groups, and it's been really effective to go over the expectations when you first start the group, and I think that really gets everybody on the same page, everybody bought in, and especially with being accountable for showing up to small group. And I mean, it's a lot more than that. It's showing up, it's participating, it's sharing, it's being confidential, and just agreeing to all that up front has been really helpful in our groups.
That's great. Someone else, what's gone really well or going well in the group?
I think, like, keeping up with each other during the week, other than the night that we meet, has helped, like, updates on prayer requests, like, if you had something that was a specific day, how it went, or just kind of checking in with people has helped us bond and be more connected other than just what we need. So it's been good. And we just, like, a lot of times we'll just do, like, a group text message of, like, hey, today's going good or not going good, or, you know, update the
stuff. Bragging on our Siena groups, I think just care in general. There is a death or sickness, just a struggle. All of our folks have really rallied behind and extremely supportive, providing for them in any way possible. So you see that time and time consistent across our group. So very thankful for that.
I think with our class, we've had some turnover, so this is actually a new season for us where, you know, we have a lot of new people coming in. And so, but as a result, we've taken on ourselves to try to, you know, grow the guys and, you know, do things outside so we can develop those bonds, those relationships. So the small group does start in a week or so. You know, guys are more comfortable in there. You know, they'd be willing to share because there is a little bit of trust that's already developed.
It's a great idea.
Something that seemed really small, but it's actually ended up being something that's been really pivotal in our small group was that some of the girls were actually starting to create events that were outside the small group. We do ones inside the small group too, but it's so easy for people to not want to take the initiative and kind of always be the follower, and I don't want to do it because if I put myself out there and nobody comes, then you feel rejected or you feel alone or you feel like nobody cares. And so just seeing a couple of the girls step out and say, this is something that I want to do and I want to invite everybody else to join in, but regardless of whether anybody else shows up or not, I'm still going to have a great time doing it. And I put myself out there, which is so hard, you know, in the day and age of there's a Facebook invite for this and that and the other, to actually see them kind of taking as a leader. A lot of times you feel like it always falls to you to plan the special events and make those times of getting together and gathering outside of it. But when you actually start to see them kind of go, you know what, I'm gonna do this too, and I want to step out in faith. Those are some really cool things.
Anyone else want to share on what's gone well, what's gone good?
I guess one thing I would say is just echo what you said, is just with the transparency. If you're a leader of the group, just, you know, almost from the beginning, just kind of laying it out there,
and trusting that your identity is in Christ. And so if you do share a struggle, you know, if somebody's going to bash you, you know that your identity is in Christ. So it's, you know, it's not against you or whatever, but it's probably not going to happen. But at least what we've seen is when we just open up and share our struggles, and everybody else just starts jumping in right from the beginning, you know, and it's just, it starts to bring that closeness together in the group. Yeah, even if you begin and it's like, you know, they don't know each other that well, but we do know that we're all believers and we have the same goal here, and then it just kind of gets it going from the beginning.
Yeah, setting a precedent's really helpful. So two of the groups that I've been a part of, the guys will just put something really big out there right in the beginning, and that kind of establishes that as being how everybody moves on from that point. So having the ability to put that out there, or whoever the group lead is, that helps a lot.
I've seen well-respected leaders that, I'm not going to mention names, in a confidential setting, step out and say, I'm struggling with, you know, what's on my computer, or I'm struggling with the temptations of when my wife's not around. And not that they, you know, acted on that, but to be in an environment where the leader, who's well respected in many regards, that people don't know their personal settings, when leaders step up and open up, that leader is showing that you can trust me, and we can share, and we can lean on one another. And it takes a lot to do that, but that's a huge stepping stone.
And I would say similarly with the transparency, I think once we kind of like, you know, like just opening up and kind of starting with being transparent, and everybody all of a sudden just kind of reacted like, you know, sharing a lot of stuff as well, and it just became an environment where you could really trust each other and then like become friends. And I would say that like one thing that has been big has been like encouraging each other through, like she said, like group text messages or hanging out or just phone calls and stuff, but also just like being able to laugh with one another and having that sort of friendship bond. Once everybody felt comfortable opening up, they also kind of loosened up, and we could just feel like they were accepted for who they are too, and could have, you know, their sense of humor and stuff like that. And we've gotten a lot of encouragement from just each other, like in that sense, like if someone's having a tough day or someone's having a good day, just being able to share that with each other.
What would y'all say is a realistic time frame, you know, based off your experiences in groups, for a group of people that really don't know each other that well, to get to a little bit of a spot? I'd say for men, camaraderie, and for ladies, that's the best word.
Transparency is a really good word.
Yeah.
Where you really can share your heart.
What's that? Oh, is that Kristen?
So, very old term. It's very
what was it?
Like a bosom buddy. I don't know. It's like something my mom would have. It sounds here. I don't know.
That is cool. But how long? You know, because there are going to be people that are entering into groups, and some will be new leaders for the very first time. You know, so what's a realistic expectation on that? You know, range wise, is it a month? Is it 2 months? Is it?
I think it depends on what you have in common with them,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have anything immediately accessible between the two of you, like the same life experiences, then you have to build those before you can just have that relationship. So if you identify what your backgrounds are and you have similar people with similar backgrounds, then I think that'll be much quicker than
and personalities too.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it happen as quickly as a month, but at other times, you know, it's taking longer. So it's kind of, it really depends on the group dynamic there.
And what people are there for, too. So if people are there, like, from the Word, and that's what they'll focus their efforts on. If they're there to find a group of people to really share with, that's what they'll focus their efforts on, too. So I think establishing what they're trying to get out of it before you match up the groups is important, too.
I was going to say intent as well. If their intention is just to find a good friend or a group of friends or to be part of a clique, you know, that's sometimes not what a small group is about. Yes, you build friendships and you do things together, but there, and in small groups that I've been in the past, I wouldn't say that we were necessarily the best of friends. That wasn't what our small group was based on. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but a lot of great things came from it. Mm-hmm. So.
And the question is about camaraderie, or to get to a certain place?
Well, I mean, I've been in a lot of different groups, and some groups, honestly, you know, you've had a lot of experiences together. You get in a group, and it just, almost from day one, things are very easy.
Right.
You feel comfortable with the guys, and you can share, and you can give, and you can take, and it's very simple. I've been in other groups, and I'm just now on the front end of a group, so we've got about a 20-year range. I'm the youngest guy in the group, but we've got about a 20-year range, and, you know, I think it's going to take us a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. I have individual relationships with some of the men. One guy I don't, but all of us collectively really have no overlap at all. We're not in the same life Bible study class. I mean, it's a very interesting group the way it's all been brought together. I was just wanting to hear from y'all, you know, what your experience has been, because I've been in very fast ones. I've been in ones that have taken months.
Yeah.
Where you feel like you're sort of pulling teeth and asking God, are we supposed to be in this group together or not? And I'm just wanting to hear, because your expression, I think, is what I pray. Yeah, I do. I want there to be a joy. Joy characterizes a lot about fellowship in Scripture. You know, I want the joy of the Lord to manifest itself among the people of God. And so at some point, I want that grow group just to taste it somehow, reflect it somehow. So I was just asking, you know.
Asking how on that. One thing our group did, Eric, a lot of the guys in our group are part of the same class, but we did the men's serve event last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good way when you're volunteering as a group. You know, you can be young or old, but if you do that together, you know, especially guys, you know, we bond well when we're active. We
cut stuff up.
We're using stuff in our hands, right? So I know that's worked well with us.
Yeah, that's great.
I was just thinking, like, Why can't you accelerate that process, right? Like, if you go on a camping trip with a group of friends, and all of a sudden you're outside of your element, and you're no longer worried about, well, what time am I going to get home? What time am I going to wake up to take care of what I need to do tomorrow? You go on that retreat, you get away, and you're focused on the reason you're there. And so if you're focused on fellowship and growing closer together as a small group for 2 days, and you know that there's no other obligations, that suddenly, at least for men, I don't know how it is for women, but
why don't you?
No, because I'm single.
You'll never know.
Yeah.
You just won't know.
Thanks.
Am I right, Jeff?
That's right.
I'm going to come get another hug from you before I leave.
No, I just meant it. Women, it's hard to understand.
Well, I'm saying, if you do something like that
so
on the
easy.
Front,
it's you guys that are the problem.
You go on like a fishing trip or do something and get away, and all of a sudden you come back and you have that bond, and you're looking forward to seeing each other again, and all of a sudden you've got that momentum going in on the front end of forming a new small group.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it's crazy.
It really works well if you all fall out of the boat in the lake.
Like, we're all going to die. We better pull together and pray.
There you go.
That'll get it going.
Surviving against all odds.
I think it has a lot to do with how safe the environment is as well. And so when we split up guys and girls, even though we're a couple of small group, and to share our prayer requests, and I always pray in our girl time that it'll be a place where we can be vulnerable. It'll be a safe place that we can share things. And it goes back to the covenant as well, because that's another thing. I think if you do that up front, you can kind of create that environment that's a little safer to share. Like, you know, if you ever, like, meet someone random you're never going to meet again, you might share something with them that you wouldn't share with somebody that you are going to meet again if you don't know what's going to happen with that information. So just knowing that it's not going anywhere and that you're not going to be judged by sharing it creates an environment that will allow you to open up quicker. We had this current small group. We had some really, really deep things shared on our first meeting just after we went through the covenant and after we kind of talked about what the needs were. And we also, there's another document called, like, the attributes of God and what I need most right now. And we, like, made everybody pick out three of them. And that really showed a lot of, like, who you are right now, just by the attribute of God that you're looking for right now.
That's good.
if you would email that, I think my email address might be on there. Love it. So we got lots of resources, and if we have time at the end, we can sort of try to explain some of them. But there's a lot of resources that we've been gathering and putting together, and we want to make available to everybody from every campus. And I just believe it's the heartbeat. I really do. I think it's going to change the culture where the church can be the church. The early church modeled a whole lot more what grow groups look like and are, with the caring and the word and the prayer and the fellowship and the joy and the service. And so this is a wonderful, you know, like microcosm type of deal that God allows the gospel to indwell a community of people, and that is the church. And it's an awesome thing, and we get the joy of being a collective of many of those, and we're called a church. You know, it's little points of light all united together, moving in the same direction under the same banner, and that's across the city. It's a great deal. It's exciting. So I love the resource. The question we've done: what are some of the challenges?
This past semester, my group, I had a pretty challenging situation just in general with the group. From the beginning, it was kind of difficult, just because to begin with, there were only three of us, which really is like the bottom limit. Like, I wouldn't, obviously two is not a girl group anymore. So generally I prefer to have at least four or five. So three was challenging to begin with. But I also had some commitment issues from one of the guys, which was especially bad because with a girl group of only three, if one guy doesn't show up, then it's like, well, so much for that. Yeah. So
what does commitment issue look like?
Basically, he was only... We ended up basically coming to an agreement, because I confronted him about it, that we would meet every other week instead of every week, which really cut down on the amount of time we had, especially because, you know, some of the groups only last for one semester. So we only got together probably six or seven times over the course of the semester, and I just didn't feel like we ever really got to any level of depth or anything. So it was a really challenging situation, but I just made the best of it, essentially.
Raise your hand if y'all have dealt with commitment issues in a grow group that you're a part of at all. I'm just curious. Is that a topic y'all would like to circle back around to and talk about ways of handling that? I mean, would y'all...
I just don't know if people show up half the time. Like, they'll sign up for it. Like, I've done probably four or five small groups now, and the attrition is like 50% before the first meeting-ish, and then you probably lose like another third after that. This is all in Summit, so of course it lasts like 4 years. But seriously, probably half the people just never show up.
How many people were in the group to begin with?
They assign like maybe eight, and you end up having three or four. But it's happened multiple times in multiple different classes. It's not just one class.
So how do the names get?
Well, you have people that are new to the class a lot of times, and so they'll go to the class, sign up for it, and then even not come back to the class, I think. Or they'll just decide they got busy with something else, whatever it is. Or they'll go to the first meeting or two of the small group and then say, okay, this isn't for me. And the second part of this, too, is having a big disparity in knowledge of the word. So I don't think you guys filter it all based, like, who goes into groups based on their knowledge. You have people that literally have never read John before, and then you have people that have read everything twice, three times. And so the people that have read a lot end up coaching the people that haven't read anything, which is great. But the problem is the people on the upper end of the spectrum don't really learn much, and so they're kind of stifled for growth.
Are you grow director?
Oh no, I'm a peon.
I'm asking because one of the things that I've faced
is that I usually don't start our small groups on time. Like, Summit wants to start small groups by this weekend, right? I'm not starting. Sorry, this is news to you. I passed it by dawn, so.
Where's the clicker?
Hit rewind and edit that.
No, so go ahead. It's cool. I love you, and yeah, let the spirit lead this.
All right. It's not a formula. It's
okay. So, anyways, me and the director of our class, or the director and I, we have an Excel spreadsheet, and it's like literally a puzzle, and we just edit it all the time. We'll meet once a week, and we'll pray about it. We'll come back and be like, no, they live too far away, or no, we're not sure if these personalities will match, so we'll copy and paste, we'll cut, we'll edit, we'll decide, is this person too new to the class? Because we want to take the time to make sure that these groups are compatible. And we did have a pretty successful season. I mean, the most of the attrition was because people got engaged or had some other issue. I'm not saying there's some magical formula to it, but we're not going to start any small groups for a couple more weeks probably. So, I mean, I think taking the time to really understand what individuals in a small group are looking for and making sure the leadership is taking the time to pray about it and sort through it and talk to people is really important. Because I know I've sat down with Eric in similar settings where you've talked about how you can go and talk to a small group leader and ask them, well, how's your small group going? And then the small group leader's like, oh, yeah, my group's going well. And you're like, well, that's great. I'm glad you're doing well. It's good to see you. Let's catch up sometime. And then what you really don't realize is that there's, like, a huge list of issues. Like, people aren't showing up, people aren't getting along, and you have to peel back the layers, and it takes time. So I think that taking the time and not being stuck to, I think some in our church has really good at having a cycle of things, but sometimes we get too pressured into sticking to that cycle. So...
In Summit, I know I was over Meridian Adults for a long time, and obviously our grow groups last forever. You know, like, I mean, you know, there's no reason to bust them up. You want to have access point for new people to come in and all of that. In Summit, years ago, it was 6 months legalistically, and I mean, Don and I went on that thing for 4 years back and forth on that. And you can let a group roll up to a year and a half is sort of what Don and I finally settled on.
I thought it was 2 years.
Well, then 2 years, that's great. I still want access points, but I mean, you don't have to blow up a group every 6 months. I know you said that. I just want you to be aware, if you're in Summit, you could say to the grow leader, or if you're the grow leader, it's okay to let a group that's healthy. I'm like, unhealthy groups need to end. I mean, I believe God created a universe where healthy things reproduce. And we know something's vital when we see it reproducing. And if you've got a great group, I think the vision for me is I would look at the next 6 months or so and say, hey, how could more people be blessed with the dynamics that are here? Is there a way for us to multiply this while we look at other groups that aren't doing very well? How can we realign some of the people so that we maximize that opportunity? And so the time you're taking on the front end to pair, you're a whole lot better than I ever would be at that, at doing something like that. I think, you know, I don't have that brain to do it. Ken Kapp is that way. If you know Ken Kapp, I don't know if you know, he's a deacon here, newlywed class, spreadsheet guru, and it's amazing what he can do with his brain and the computer. But anyhow, I would just say, you know, just you have permission to let that group roll if it's working well, and not have to blow something up every 6 months, because it's very hard, mm-hmm. in my experience, to 3 months you're really clicking and getting into it, knowing that, well, in 3 months we're done. Like at my age, I would not sign up for that ever. I understand I wouldn't, and I understand there's a little bit more turnover in Summit. I totally get that. So just give me permission, let that thing roll, if it's a good one.
Got it.
So you mentioned access points, and
my major question tonight is about LBS being an open group, grow groups being closed group. We have a lot of growth in Cyprus, which is awesome, but we're having a lot of new couples join our class, and it's really hard to figure out when it's appropriate to put them into a small group. Should there be specific access points, like you said, like at the beginning of each semester, or like we had a new couple come in last week, do I have to wait for them to get into a grow group until September, or can we bring them in? I guess what's the philosophy on that?
I would echo that exact same thing for Sienna.
Yeah.
It's just the struggle between wanting to grow these deeper relationships versus also wanting to include new people. I mean, how do you balance that?
You guys don't have Koinonia, right?
What?
They don't, right,
yeah.
Eric?
Yeah, there is
no.
There is a, some classes use an open, it's a smaller group, but it is an open group that would meet at someone's home.
And I guess that's what we are doing.
And it's a little bit of a holding tank while grow groups that are actually a closed group are going on. 10 or 12 people, they come and go as they need. It's an independent study every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily, the bar is a lot lower on the commitment side.
Okay.
The goal isn't a lot of transparency, but transparency can happen. But it's to prepare people to get into a group that has a little bit more accountability, more transparency, more commitment, but it allows them to get to know people in the
mm-hmm.
class, in the LBS, before a year's over. You know, it's like, We need classes that have something that will allow people to quickly get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
Class lunches are helpful, you know, but y'all know it, you're only going to talk to the, you know, you've got five people you're going to talk to, and they're right there. Otherwise, you're yelling across the restaurant. No one wants to do that. And so it's better having that koinonia opportunity is what we call it in Summit. But I would just say it would be more of a, I would just call it, hey, this is it's a home group almost, where meet at the home, and you can do that year-round, have a group that just, that's their heartbeat, is they have the gift of hospitality, they want to connect people, and then out of that you can pull people into deeper, committed, closed groups called grow groups. That's a sort of a hybrid idea. It's
who would
not
lead that? Would there be like one specific person or couple that would be like, the Koinonia leader.
Yeah, how do y'all do it in Summit? Summit, speak up here.
We have like two leaders who kind of alternate back and forth. And then we also have a mentor couple who will kind of rotate into it. So the mentor couple does one night a month. So it'll be like, we're the first Thursday of every month. Come over to our house instead.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really a combination of teachers and hosts, because you ask somebody to host and the host isn't necessarily going to teach, so you need a host, and then you need somebody to teach, and obviously you're not going to have somebody who's usually has the time to prepare a lesson every single week, so you'll rotate that, and then you just make sure that you're having regular announcements about it. So
we don't mention child care.
It's kind of like a small group that's open. As it, and you're putting people in sort of a holding pattern until, like, the next semester, then you take several of these couples that have gotten to know each other through Koinonia and form a new small group.
It sounds like a second LBS is what it sounds
smaller
like.
In size.
Well, I don't know how big your LBSs are, though, so...
Right.
I mean, it could literally be like that.
It would
but
only
it would
be the new couples, though, I guess, so it wouldn't be part of the new couples. Because anybody who's already in a grow group wouldn't be in the Koinonia.
You can do both.
Or you
some people do both.
Some people do both. Yeah.
Can I ask a question real quick about, because we were in the session on open LBS and closed grow groups, and he was essentially saying there's requirements to be in a grow group that you are in LBS and you are serving in LBS, and then you want to get involved on, you know, and build deeper relationships, then you go into a grow group. And so would you guys say that that's a, you kind of have specifications and requirements on grow groups? Or
On grow groups, we want that to be, you know, a person that is engaged in that Life Bible study. We don't want it to be a replacement of Life Bible study. Because those groups become unhealthy. They become almost cultish in different ways.
Sure.
And so we really do want them to stay connected with a larger, you know, again, lots of different autonomous, in some ways, groups aligning in one direction, moving in that direction is really a beautiful thing. If we could just zap up on top of Houston and see people moving forward, advancing the kingdom, it's great. You asked, what was the other question, though? I'm trying to go back to your first.
Yeah, I guess essentially, so somebody said, you know, they come to LBS, and then they go to a grow group, and they're like, oh, we like this better than LBS, maybe even church, so we're just going to come to grow group, you know, whereas some people want to go a little bit deeper and build and have a discipleship in that, besides just...
I would call them, I mean, I would challenge them on the arena of, I look at LBS as it's an open group, it's a great opportunity for us to engage people, new people coming in. Like, our vision's to disciple people.
Sure.
It's not to have a lot of grow groups. It's not to have a lot of in-between koinonia groups or a lot of life Bible studies. Those are all tools to, in a sense, filter people down at some level.
Yeah.
If someone tells me, well, I'm in a grow group and I'm completely and utterly fine and I don't ever need to go and talk to anybody else over here, that oozes self. To me,
sure. Yeah.
It oozes, I don't have a mission at all.
Yeah.
And I would challenge that, if it's a man, I would challenge the man and say, hey, why do you think God's got you here? And I would really call him up. Is, you've got gifts. Ephesians 4, I mean, Pastor Greg's preaching in that. It's the weaving together these different gifts. I would call them up and say, we need your involvement and investment broader than just this. This is the incubator for you, hopefully. You know, every man and every lady needs accountability. Every man and every lady needs a safe place to confess sin and happiness. You know, we do. We all need the intimacy there. But that's not all we need. Because the bride of Christ needs us to be pouring back in and then also reaching out. And so the danger is of going to 3 meetings or 4 meetings in a week. Well, when are you going to talk to your neighbor, and when are you going to... So the advantage of Cypress and Siena is y'all are a little bit more, to use what y'all did, geographically centered.
Yeah.
And you have a greater likelihood of really being able to disciple and evangelize, which is a facet of discipleship. It's not the completion of it. It's that cycle of, you know, making, you know, reproducing reproducers.
Erica, what we're finding at Siena, not only with this LBS, but other LBSs, is there kind of a cultural thing. It's really and it may be tied to self, but there is a, not one or two people to approach. There's a percentage of people who are only going to give themselves to one group. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to, or they're saying anyway, am I going to go to LBS and grow group and this and that? Mm-hmm. I'll go to this. So as he said, they're choosing either LBS or grow group. And if they like their grow group, then some of them are saying, that's what I'm going to give myself to.
Okay.
In Summit, we try to tell them that if you're not connected in LBS, you cannot be in grow group.
Yeah, that would be a very challenging thing for us to do.
It may be, yeah. I mean that's just...
That is what we say here.
Because it's almost, the grow groups are almost like an outreach tool in CNN as well. Like,
yes.
It is the norm there to do the midweek groups, and it's the norm to just do maybe 1 hour on Sundays. So it's kind of like that. That's where you invite people to, which means it's not a closed group. You're inviting people to it
right. Midweek,
you know.
And there's cell churches have been around for years, and that's more of a cell model where it's an open. It's replicating. You're building. You're always bringing in new, training up. Splitting, going, you know.
The other cultural
a difference. I've been in a cell church, and they definitely are different. I mean, the purpose is, and who said intent? Someone, Kristen, you mentioned intent, and someone else mentioned intentionality. Like, why are we together? And I think, and that's going to be solved over my head ultimately. Is going to be probably the pastors and Greg and the leadership team having to make some of those decisions of what are we comfortable with as far as the purposes for different groups. You know, here I see the Grow group and I see where that can fit. And we've got people coming from all different church backgrounds, no church background to church background, but it's been going this way for a long, long time. So you come in and I think you sort of, you see, yeah, you sort of see the movement. Y'all were existing already as a culture inside an area that has a culture. And now we're taking a little of this and bringing it in. So some people will see that as foreign. We reject foreign things typically, at least our bodies activate antibodies. Yeah, you know, it's like they're going to fight that. Yeah. So there's probably going to be some unique tensions that y'all are walking in, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I would probably say they're not. It's not the tension of two groups. It's a lifestyle culture. Because we're experiencing this, maybe some people from Graves, same thing from people who are from the Loop are still making these decisions, and people who are walking in the doors for the very first time. So it's not where you've come from. And I think the other things I'm trying to track a little bit is unless you were raised Baptist, Sunday morning is not any different than any other time Saturday and Sunday. They're just 2 days. And so people are waking up Sunday at 9 and saying, let's go to chemo. And we would be thinking, well, why don't you say that at 2 in the afternoon? You know, not at 9 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But it makes no difference to them. It's Saturday and Sunday. It's just one block. And so consistency in a small group on a Sunday may be different. We're finding consistency is higher on a Tuesday night because it fits the rhythm of their life. They go to work, and they always go to work on Tuesday. So if it's put on a Tuesday night and it can be part of their rhythm, consistency in a small group may occur more likely on a Tuesday night, for example, than even on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So we don't know what to do with that yet.
Yeah,
just starting to track.
Yeah, I'd love to talk through because I think I'd love to explore that because that's, I mean, it's a lot of stuff. I mean, that's a lot of cultural dynamics and social dynamics that obviously I'm not aware of all the ins and outs of that. And I've only been over there once. And got a toll ticket for that. I didn't have a toll ticket. I ended up on a road that has it. All you got is a. It didn't even warn you, man. You're on it. It's like toll drag only. Once I'm on it, I'm like, that did not help. That absolutely. What? Not on the one I was on. My wife even. She was like, where was that sign? I said, there wasn't one. I'm really good at spotting them because I don't have a toll tag. Anyway, I'm back. I'm sorry. Yes, Sherry.
But your group has people coming and going, so does it feel safe to you guys?
It's not as coming and going as LBS, and it's because our Grow group does a topical book study, so there's homework throughout the week that you have to do. So most people, adults, have common sense where they go, oh, this group has been meeting already for 4 weeks. You know, I'm probably not going to go in to it like that, but at the same time, we feel like we can't, if somebody does want to, we feel like we can't say, no, you can't be a part of this group. So it's kind of, I guess it's open in that sense where we are not shutting the doors necessarily to people. And we're doing that because we have seen that some of the Grow groups want to stay closed and almost just really become like a dinner club. You know, they want to be closed and they don't. And we feel like that's not Christ to be
us for no more.
Yes. I don't know.
You know what? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So from the two lectures I went to before this, they both tied into two similar facts. One was that what keeps people coming back to church long-term in their 20s to early to mid-30s, and the common denominator is if they grew up in a family where their parents were actively involved in the church throughout their childhood. And I was fortunate to have that. So church is something that where Sunday, I did understand it as the Sabbath. And so you see a lot of families who don't understand that. And so the second interesting fact was that you look at the generational gap, and 40 or 50 years ago, Sunday was a different day than it is today. Saturday and Sunday is the same day today. And so what you see is, like, even when people come to church, this is kind of looking at it pessimistically, but you can look at the status quo as, oh, we've got this really cool LBS, and there's all these really cool people, and me getting plugged in and involved in leading is like, it's like a social status, right? And then it becomes less about the ministry. But when you have guys praying for each other in their LBS, you know, in front of each other, witnessing, getting involved, praying and doing cool things that are outreach, people follow that ministry and they want to get involved. And I would personally see it as those cells wanting to come together because they're seeing other cells within those grow groups doing cool things. They're like, they're doing that, we're going to do that. If they're both doing that, why don't we do it together? And then over time, you've got that churning thing instead of it just being, well, how do we grow the church? Because then it just becomes the status quo and you're missing a key spiritual factor in that process.
What was fact two, by the way? I'm so sorry. You said two facts. One was that parents actively involved in the church during the childhood.
Well, the second fact is the generational gap. Like 40, 50 years ago, Sunday was a different day than it is for people today. And so, like, you're right. People, if you didn't grow up going to church, Saturday and Sunday is just
a lot of difference.
So,
I can't believe it's actually. I'm sorry. I really feel like there's billions of topics, so we didn't really answer any. I would like to meet. I really would like to brainstorm with you and get you with us. No, but those are a lot of good input. Honestly, that's a lot of good input.
That was really helpful.
If y'all have other questions, why don't y'all write them down? What I can do, honestly, is we can at least compile them. Number one, if you have ideas of things that have helped you or worked well, put those, we can compile them, and I can send that out. And honestly, I don't know, you know, we don't have to do a Midnight Madness, but if you're interested, we could probably, you know, try to find a way to, okay, we'll go out to Cyprus and we'll just do a lunch and we'll just dialogue through some of these, and then we can do something at the Loop and do that as well, because I think there's a lot of items that I actually thought we were going to get to that we completely didn't, that we didn't get to, but you nailed it. I mean, she said, there's no way we'll get to talk about all of that because we only have an hour. And you're right. You're really smart.
It takes a long time to
you're
have
smart,
these
man.
Discussions.
It does.
So, I don't think I'm that smart.
Here one thing, and that is, you are the ministers. You are. I mean, your prayers, the fervent prayer of a righteous person accomplishes great things. God has called you. He's anointed you. He's indwelt you. His word is true. His commands are pure. The more we live out of His word, the more we live in His will. And I just really, please do not grow weary. You know, it is weird. Leadership can be tiring. In your leadership position, Jeff, you know, I'm not at that level of leadership, and I feel burdened where I am. But at your level, it's burden. You see the front line. You see struggle, and you see victory, and all that. I just want you to be encouraged, and to do not grow weary in doing good, for there is the law of the harvest that God wove into the cosmos. It will not be averted at all because it's how He designed us to live. And I want to thank y'all for, you know, leading out and taking courage and your faith and making investment in people and creating safe places where people can actually share and experience love for the very first time. And once they do that, then they can actually receive truth, sometimes for the very first time. And so let me pray over you. Father God, I thank you for the men and women here. I thank you, Lord, that you're at work in their hearts and in their lives. And Father, you've called them to yourself. You have made them your own. And Lord God, I pray for wisdom. We ask for discernment. We ask that, God, these items that we feel like, Lord, it's like this giant 500 million piece jigsaw puzzle, and Lord, I'm just looking for the corner and four pieces that fit together. God, you see it all. And so, God, would you direct us? Would you give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see your best? And we want to have the mind of Christ. And God, I know we're not in the Word enough. I'm sure of it in my life. And I ask that you would also, God, just speak to us as we are in your Word. Refine our heart. Refine our motive, God. You love us. Nothing separates us from that. And we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all. Please, if there are questions you still have, please write them down quickly. I'm glad y'all are here, and also just to help me think. Yes, that helps me. Yeah, I feel the weight of that, I guess. And I want to help.
We all do.
I know you do.
We're trying to.
Yeah, no, I know you do.
Souls.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. If your house, the farthest house, who drove the furthest to get here today? How's that?
That's a good one.
How far?
Conroe.
Mother. No. Yeah. Give it to that guy right there.
Free brand. Woo!
All 6.3 miles.
Who got sweet rolls?
That's right.
Oh,
it's
a gift.
Hey, thank y'all. I have seen y'all before. Was this one? Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to think. You're so familiar to face. Were y'all? Like rough as in, like, relationally, you feel like people are, you're trying to make X happen, and so there's a conflict and a tension always.
Because the Woodlands and Connor aren't that far away, but the Sierra of the Pines is.
That if you took these groups out for the next year, then the new people coming in, there's not a mature believer to meet with them, pray with them.
I meant you. Taylor came from.
Our idea is being able to have
a and I saw you there with her,
and I was like,
that, I mean, that's what I was saying earlier. That would be my prayer. I think that's highly biblical. That vision.
We've seen it, we've experienced it, and it works.
The challenge is, you know, changing a culture means you have to change. You have to change vision. You have to change tradition and routine and all that. And that all takes time, and it all involves friction, conflict. It doesn't have to be large conflict. They're baby steps. But that's going to have to come, you know, pulpit. It's got to come from top and bottom. Like during the in church history, there's been arguments like on Reformation. How do you reform a culture? And so you had like John Calvin was a magisterial reformer, which he believed, and all he really focused on was the elite, the power brokers, and so he created a government that from the top down.